Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Turkey's President Erdogan called Israel's new president, Isaac Herzog, on Monday to congratulate him on taking office. The call came amid strained relations between the two countries, who expelled their ambassadors in 2018 after a bitter falling out. Both sides emphasized the importance of Israeli-Turkish ties, but said the other must move first for any rapprochement. Dr. Michael Kaplow joins The Greek Current to discuss the call that took place this week and his latest piece, where he makes the case that Israel's interests have shifted away from Turkey, while Ankara is more interested in the optics of better ties with Israel than in the ties themselves. Dr. Michael Kaplow is the Israel Policy Forum's policy director based in Washington, D.C. Michael, welcome on to The Greek Current.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
What can you tell us about this call that took place on Monday and about the overall state of relations between Ankara and Jerusalem leading up to it?
The call took place, as you noted, on Monday, and it was billed as a congratulatory call from Turkey's President Tayyip Erdogan to the new Israeli President Yitzhak Herzog. The two men, I'm certain, know each other given how long Herzog has been around Israeli politics. But it was certainly notable that Erdogan initiated this call. And it's also notable that it reportedly lasted for 40 minutes. So clearly, this was not just a congratulatory call. And reporting has been that there was coordination ahead of time between Erdogan and Herzog's offices, and that Herzog immediately after briefed the new Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and the Foreign Minister Yair Lapid and the Defense Minister Benny Gantz. So they obviously spoke about much more than just exchanging congratulations. And the relationship between Israel and Turkey, you know, I described it today as a roller coaster. You know, I think that maybe that's even charitable. We've had this kind of waver back and forth now for well over a decade, where you have verbal broadsides between the two, sometimes initiated by Turkey, sometimes by Israel. Neither side currently has ambassadors in either country because they keep on getting recalled. And so maybe this is a sign of a new opening and kind of a harbinger of what may be to come in terms of a return to better ties. But my sense is this is probably going to be more in line with the roller coaster we've seen over the past decade, where you have a desire on both sides, at least rhetorically, to improve relations, but then events get in the way. And sometimes those events have to do with the Palestinians, and sometimes those events have to do with other things. But I'm certainly less confident than I think others are that this is actually going to lead to something real.
In your piece, you write that while each side has some incentives to improve on the current state of affairs, there's more cause for pessimism than optimism, due to the fact in large part that Israel's interests have shifted over the last decade. Can you elaborate on this? Just how significant has this shift been from the Israeli perspective over the last 10 years?
So historically, Israel viewed the relationship with Turkey as something very valuable. Turkey was the first Muslim-majority country to recognize Israel all the way back in 1949. There was this notion, particularly in the 50s and 60s and even through the 70s, of Israel and Turkey and Iran being three non-Arab powers in the Middle East. And so you had this very strong sense of alignment. And that got even stronger in the 90s, really, with ties between the IDF and the Turkish armed forces. And that was really the driver of it. But things then really started to deteriorate at the end of the first decade of the 2000s, when you had then Prime Minister Erdogan come to power. And the political relations started to deteriorate, certainly on a leader-to-leader level. But I think that what's really driving the current dynamic, even more than that, is the shift in Israeli interests. So Israel is no longer nearly as isolated in the region, certainly as it was in the 1950s, but even less so than it was in 2008 and then really in 2010, which is when the Mavi Marmara incident with the Gaza flotilla really led to the first serious downgrade in Israeli-Turkish ties. And, you know, that's for a number of reasons. Israel, in the decade since 2010, its economy has grown enormously. It has discovered natural gas in its territorial waters in the Mediterranean. It has signed normalization agreements now with the UAE and Bahrain in the immediate region. And so the idea that Israel has to rely on Turkey to sort of break out of its regional isolation is certainly no longer the case. And in terms of military ties, Israel used to use Turkey for joint military exercises and for Turkish airspace. And it had, you know, joint exercises not only with the Turkish Air Force, but with the Turkish Navy. And Israel has replaced that in large part with Greece, because Israel can use Greek airspace for the same thing that it used Turkish airspace for. It also uses Greek territory because Greek territory is very similar to Lebanon. And Lebanon is the front that Israel is generally most worried about in terms of ground forces and having to launch a near-term operation. And then you also have Iran as part of this, where obviously over the last 10, 15 years, Israel has become much more concerned with Iran and Iran's nuclear program. And that is not a concern that has been shared as much by Turkey. And in fact, Turkey helped Iran get around sanctions over its nuclear program through the gold scheme that came to light a few years ago. And there have also been reports over the past few years of Turkish intelligence exposing Israeli intelligence agents to Iran. So when you think about the way in which Israeli-Turkish security ties were the driver of the relationship, Israel not only doesn't have to rely on those anymore, in a lot of ways, it's become actively wary of those ties. And so it's turned to other partners, including Greece and including Cyprus. And finally, on the energy front, I remember writing pieces 10 years ago questioning whether it was actually possible to build an Israeli-Turkish pipeline in order to take advantage of Israeli natural gas discoveries. And at the time, there was the sense that it wasn't economically feasible to do so given the high costs, but that if Israel didn't go through Turkey, then there may not be another good way to monetize these natural gas discoveries. And what we've seen in the interim is not only active cooperation between Israel and Greece and Cyprus on offshore gas and on pipelines, we have seen the creation of the East Mediterranean Gas Forum that includes those three countries and a bunch of others in order to figure out how to bring this East Med gas to Europe. So, you know, if you look on all of these fronts and where Israel traditionally looked to Turkey, almost none of them pertain anymore. And that is obviously going to have long-term ramifications, irrespective of whether Erdogan remains the president of Turkey or not.
In your piece, you also noted, Michael, that Turkey's pursuit of Jerusalem is not actually about Israel itself, and that from Turkey's end, the reasons for its rupture with Israel have not fundamentally changed. What's this really about from Ankara's perspective then? Is this more about optics than about substance?
I think it's almost certainly more about optics. Turkey has went remarkably quickly from a policy of zero problems with neighbors to a policy of precious loneliness, as Ibrahim Kalin puts it. And they've even moved in recent years from precious loneliness to outright, not only isolation, but outright fighting with other states in the region. And so we've seen serious tension between Turkey and the more conservative Sunni states, most prominently the UAE, but also with Saudi Arabia and with Egypt. We've seen Turkey on the other side of these states in Libya. We've seen Turkey have active friction in the Eastern Med over drilling around Cyprus. So we've seen Turkey really have tensions with everybody. And that's before we even get to tensions between Turkey and the EU that have always existed, but new tensions between Turkey and the United States. And what we've seen in the past few months, particularly with the shift from the Trump administration to the Biden administration, is a Turkish recognition that it simply cannot go on fighting everybody at the same time on all these fronts. And so Turkey has started to make active outreach to try to repair the relationship with Egypt, with Saudi Arabia, with the United Arab Emirates, and as we see now, with Israel. And it really is much more about trying to solidify this sense that Turkey is not as isolated as people think than it is about improving relations with Israel specifically. And Turkey has been more successful with some of these. You know, they seem to be doing a better job with Egypt and with Saudi Arabia than they are with the UAE. But when it comes to the Israel angle specifically, the driver of this rupture between Israel and Turkey in a lot of ways is the Palestinian issue, because President Erdogan wants to be seen as a leader in the Muslim world. He wants to be seen as the leader of a Sunni bloc that represents political Islamist movements and that is aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood. And he does this primarily through a defense of Palestinians, and particularly within the Palestinian sphere, alignment with Hamas. And that obviously causes lots of problems for Israel, and it causes lots of ruptures between Israel and Turkey anytime they seem to be moving closer, because whenever there's fighting between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, you see President Erdogan come out and accuse Israel of war crimes or genocide or all sorts of other similar nefarious charges. And what's been interesting is that even on the Palestinian side, Turkey has been a real supporter of Hamas, to the extent that many Hamas figures during the Syrian civil war moved from Damascus to Istanbul. And in particular, Salah al-Aruri, who is the head of Hamas operations in the West Bank, his headquarters for years have been in Turkey. And you know, that has caused even more tension with Israel. And you know, what we saw last weekend was Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president, visit Istanbul at Erdogan's invitation. You know, that's interesting too, because as I said, Turkey has tilted toward Hamas and away from the Palestinian Authority in recent years. And you know, we now see perhaps that as part of this larger shift on Turkey's part, where it's trying to become more aligned with other states in the region, it may be that not only does that include outreach to Israel and to the UAE and to Saudi Arabia and to Egypt, it's possible that it also includes outreach to the Palestinian Authority as representative of the more mainstream faction within Palestinian politics. And the last thing I'll mention is that as part of this idea that Turkey is the defender of the Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause, Erdogan has seized specifically on Jerusalem and wanting to be viewed as the defender of Jerusalem and the defender of Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that has caused tensions, certainly with Israel, but also with Jordan and with Saudi Arabia. Jordan has a historic role in Jerusalem, and actually that role is recognized in the Israel-Jordan peace treaty from 1994. And Saudi Arabia has been trying slowly to gain more influence in Jerusalem over Al-Aqsa more specifically. So even Turkish moves to try to own the Palestinian issue with regard to Jerusalem have also caused tension, not only with Israel, but with some of the other states in the region with which it is now trying to remedy relations. And so I think that this is, it's all connected, it's all part of one piece, and it's really not so much about Israel per se, it's about Turkey trying to shift its foreign policy to a spot where it will no longer be as isolated as it has been.
To wrap up our conversation, what steps would Israel expect to see from Turkey before relations could improve?
The biggest steps that Israel wants to see from Turkey involve Hamas presence in Turkey and involve ending Turkish payments to Hamas or Hamas-affiliated entities. And Israel probably also wants to see some moves on Jerusalem. I noted a second ago the Turkish role in East Jerusalem. It's been pretty remarkable over the past few years. If you walk around East Jerusalem, you see Turkish flags all over the place because Turkey has sponsored all sorts of building projects in East Jerusalem. And in fact, the last time there was real tension on the Temple Mount a few years ago over Israeli metal detectors that were erected on the Temple Mount or the entrance to the Temple Mount, there were big protests of Palestinians who were bussed in from around Israel and to a lesser extent the West Bank. And it turns out that Turkey was the entity that paid for buses for Palestinians to come from northern Israel to Jerusalem. So I think that Israel probably also wants to see Turkey turn down the temperature in Jerusalem and stop involving itself in East Jerusalem in ways that Israel finds objectionable or problematic.
Michael, it's great speaking with you. Thanks for joining us on The Greek Current.
My pleasure, and thanks again for having me.
In other news, Turkish President Erdogan has taken a step back and removed a controversial rector, Melibulu, that he imposed on Boğaziçi University, a leading university in Istanbul. Students, professors, and alumni who want the rector to be elected rather than appointed have been demonstrating against the installation of the former ruling AK Party member since early January. Police have arrested dozens and raided some of the protesters' homes. the crackdown drew swift condemnation domestically and internationally, including from the United States. In February, Erdogan called the demonstrators terrorists who wanted to raid the university rector's office and vowed to do whatever is necessary to stop them. Finally, new public health rules kick in across Greece on Friday, with open-air leisure and entertainment venues like restaurants, bars, cinemas, and theaters having to post a sign at the door indicating their coronavirus safety level. The new rules are designed to give more freedom to people who have been vaccinated against COVID-19 and encourage others to get the shot. With cases continuing to rise, health authorities this week reiterated that Greece is indeed in the midst of a fourth COVID-19 pandemic wave. In addition to the rising infection rate, the transmissibility index of the virus has also spiked sharply, as well as the percentage of positive tests. Experts expect the wave to spread further with several thousand cases on a daily basis in August. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.